So our Bible reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 25, and chapter 4, verse 1. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favouritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, good morning everybody. It's great to be sharing with you this morning, to be able to speak to you. But we're continuing our sermon series on Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, a letter that says a lot about how we get on with one another. So this morning, I want to start by asking you a question, a very important question. Do you relate to others the way God intended? I have to ask myself that question as well, don't I? Do I relate to others the way God intended? Well, I'd say I think I do most of the time, but I certainly don't all the time. You know, as I was praying this morning, I had a picture straight away that came into my mind. And it's what's under this cover here, and we'll see that in a moment, and we'll use it later on in prayer. But secondly, I have a second question for you, one that's not so serious. I wonder if anyone here likes to play board games. Anybody will raise your hand if you do? Oh, so I'm in good company then. I don't think I'm completely mad. Well, Keith and I and our family play board games together at things like Christmas, Easter and birthday. Keith, bless him, is not so keen. He likes to sort of sit in the corner when we're playing and just shout out the answers. But he gets himself involved. So I wonder, if you like to play board games here, if you know what this board game is. Well, it's not a board game, but it's a game. Anybody? Jenga, brilliant. I didn't realise, but it's actually got Jenga written all over it. Kind of gives it away. And do you know what the word Jenga comes from, what it means? It comes from a Swahili word, which means to build. We read about another building, what we might call God's spiritual building. We read that we are God's people who are being built together. We read that Jesus is the cornerstone of that building, that is us, the church. And Jesus builds us together as a temple of the Holy Spirit, built under the inspiration, strength, and power that is the Holy Spirit, and the cement that holds us together, that keeps us in place, is our love and our submission. And everything that I want to say this morning can't become a reality in our own strength. It has to be done and applied through the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. So, what can we learn from today from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae? And specifically about our relationships with one another. Well, what's wonderful about Paul's writing is he doesn't mess about. He gets straight to the point. He gets right down to the basics as how we can build healthy relationships. And this is really important. Why? Because there's no greater expression of our faith than the way we conduct our personal relationships with one another in our day-to-day life, with our spouses, with our children, with our co-workers. Paul addressed all these important issues, these relationships. And yes, it's here in our relationships with those around us that our faith is truly expressed and worked out in a real practical way. So how can we cooperate with God's building? What are the building materials we need for a healthy relationship, relationships that God intends us to have? Well, firstly, all our relationships need to be Christ-centred, don't they? Unfortunately, it wasn't the case with the church at Colossae. As we've heard over the previous weeks, the Christians were slipping into bad habits. Old habits die hard. And the freedom that they had experienced with their risen Jesus Christ was undermined by a combination of paganism, legalism, and secular philosophy. That in turn had called them to be self-centred and proud. And their relationships were suffering because of it. You know, whenever things are going wrong and our relationships are getting worse and slipping over time, it's always good to come back to what the Word of God actually says. Then realigning our relationships so they are Christ-centred. Paul's desire for the Colossians was that they abounded in God's love and to follow in his ways. And to achieve this, he directly addresses the imbalances in society, affirming the value of everyone and urging them to care for all they know. This was the imbalance. In Paul's day, women, children and slaves were all submitted to the male head of the family. They lived in a kind of pyramid where men were at the top. But Paul was radical and said that everyone in the partnership that we've heard about this morning, husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and slaves or bosses and workers, if you like, should all submit to each other. And Paul summed it up when he wrote in Ephesians 5:12, submit to one another out of reverence for God. But what does that actually mean? What does it actually mean to submit? So this morning we're going to be looking at carefully at the crucial word submission. Now that word submission can be a real problem for people. It can trigger bad memories and stir up emotions. It can have all kinds of connotation. So let's not shy away from that, but actually address it. I think it's a safe place this morning to explore what submission actually means. Now if you've suffered abuse in a marriage, family or work, if you've been in a church where there has been dominant and ungodly leadership, what's something that we call heavy shepherding, then hear me clearly. We should never think it's our duty to submit to abuse and allow ourselves to be the victim of somebody else's bad behaviour. That's never okay. And if that's been your experience, and there'll be people here to pray for you after the service, to listen to your story, to pray for you, and to bring healing to you. Incidentally, my mum and dad had that experience of heavy shepherding. For example, the leader once told my mum that she shouldn't wear trousers, it was ungodly, and she should wear skirts. But if you're wearing trousers this morning, ladies, it's all okay. You might be a bit hot, but it's all okay. Submission is never about acceptance of abuse from a partner, a parent or co-worker. And there's something I read recently that really defines submission well. Submission is voluntarily cooperating with anyone out of love and respect for God first and out of love and respect, secondly, for that person. Just say that again. Submission is voluntarily cooperating with anyone out of love and respect for God first, and then secondly, out of love and respect for that person. So coming back to the title of our sermon this morning, how can we be blessed at home and work? Well, let's be clear, blessing comes firstly from submission to God's will, to cooperate with him and follow his guidance in our relationships. When we submit ourselves to God, we are blessed, as St. Peter wrote, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxiety on him, for he cares for you." And then secondly, submitting to another person in our relationships out of love and respect for them. You know, Jesus himself was a living example of a man who submitted. He shows us the way. He submitted himself to the Father, as it says in John 6:38. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me." This led him to humbly serving those around him, and in turn he urged his disciples to follow his example, to be submissive, just as Jesus was. In fact, St. Paul said our attitude needs to be exactly the same as Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in human appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. And let's reflect on that cross for a moment. In the hours before his death, we read in Luke that he cried out to God in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done." That was the ultimate submission of Jesus. Submission to his Father's will for you and me, and so setting us an example. So how should we be submissive in our daily lives? Well, I think how submission works in practice depends on who we are and what our roles are. Wives, let's think about wives. How should we relate to our husbands? Our reading this morning says, "Wives, submit yourself to your husband as is fitting in the Lord." At the time of writing this, women had very few rights. Under Jewish law, a woman was seen as a husband's possession. He owned her like he owned a sheep or a donkey. And whilst Jewish men could get a divorce for any reason, a woman had no right to initiate one. It was very unjust. In the Gentile world around them, women's lives were one of complete servitude and chastity. Their husbands, on the other hand, could go where they want, have as many relationships as they wanted, and there was no stigma. In both cases, all husbands had the privileges and all wives had the duties. But now Paul's saying something quite radical. He's saying wives to submit to their husbands, but only as the Lord sees fit. In other words, if something is ungodly, you are not compelled to do it. In marriage, the husband doesn't replace God and become Lord of his wife. A wife's submission to her husband is actually an act of submission to God. And the NIV Study Bible actually says that nowhere in the Bible does it say wives are actually to obey their husband like they are joining the army. Husbands, let's think about husbands. We heard earlier that husbands also had a duty. It's to love his wife, for it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Here the word love is in the original language of the Bible. It was agape. It means sacrificial love of the kind that Jesus showed to us. St. Paul expands on this in his letter to the church at Ephesus, where he writes, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for. So we see in marriage, submission is to work both ways. In marriage, submission in a real sense is actually mutual. The mutual submission, this love and respect, grows the relationship. And it's essential for both husbands and wives to do their part. One partner doesn't properly respect the other, and the marriage becomes unstable, and there can be consequences. Now, we said earlier that submission is expressed differently depending on the role of the person who is doing the submitting. And we can see this clearly in the parent-child relationship. Parents and children. Paul said that children are to obey their father, and here the word obey actually means obey. They are to express submission through obedience until they reach childhood, but then the role changes as they come of age. They're to express submission then by loving God and honouring their parents. But then Paul goes on further and establishes the duty of the stronger person in the relationship, the father. He says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they'll be discouraged. Embittering means to be harsh, to be showing contempt and deriding their efforts. Again, St. Paul expands on this in Ephesians 5, where he writes, father, do not exacerbate children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Submission to this command by parents allows the child to see that their own relationship with submission to this command allows children to see their own relationship with their heavenly, Submission to this command by parents allows the child to see what their own relationship with their heavenly father should be. There you go. Thank you. It allows us to grow. So in practice, it's all about encouragement through administering discipline in love, just like our Heavenly Father does with us. Our relationships with our children ought to mirror God's relationship with us. It says in Proverbs 22:6, and I love this scripture, start children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And some of us this morning, we need to hear that. As parents, the seeds that you have planted have not been planted in vain. For many years, Keith and I prayed for Keith's children from his first marriage. We still do. But they'd been brought up in a Christian home with good Christian teaching. But as they got older, they weren't connected with the body of Christ. And we just felt this complete compulsion to pray for them, to intercede for them. And my prayer at that time was, Lord, will you water the seeds that you have planted, that have been planted? Will you honour the investment that has been made in their lives at a very young age? About 3 years later, out of the blue, life changes happened in both son and daughter's life, and they reconnected to church and were growing mightily in faith and serving. We have a faithful God. With parents and children, there's a blessing when both are in mutual submission to God. Parents, if you sowed seeds of discipline, administering love, then one day you will see the harvest. Keep praying. Children, if you obey your parents in adulthood, children, if you obey your parents, then in adulthood, honour and love them. God promised to bless you that you may enjoy long life on this earth. And lastly, slaves and masters, or workers and bosses. Around this time that Paul would have been writing this letter, there would have been millions of slaves in the Roman Empire. And slaves played a significant part in society. They weren't just tasked with menial tasks, they were doctors and teachers as well. But like women, they were seen as inferior to free men. In this passage, Paul doesn't condemn slavery, though elsewhere in 1 Timothy 1:10, he condemns slave traders. And he taught that in Christ, there is no slave nor free. Perhaps sowing the seeds that grew into the abolition of slavery. But I think when it boils down to it, what we need to take from this passage today, I think, is that slaves or workers are really working for God and should work well. Masters, bosses, are to treat them fairly because they have a master of God in heaven as well. You know, there's so much we could say, but we're limited for time this morning. So I'm going to close, before I come on to pray for you all, I'm going to close with a reminder to all of us, whoever we are, about submission. God's word says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And let's be thankful Jesus was submitted to God for all of us. Thank you. This morning when I was... I'm going to invite the band up, actually, if that's okay. I'm not sure if you've got them all. When I was preparing for this some week, as I said, the first thing that came into my mind was the picture of this Jenga. And I want to pray for you all, and just wait on the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure what I'm going to say particularly, but I'm just trusting in God. So I just would like to invite you to receive, really. Keep your eyes open. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. And so it will help you to pray with the aid of this, whatever's going to be said. I'm not sure yet. Whatever I say, remember that you need to weigh it up. And I just want to bring all our relationships before God. Maybe have your hands open to receive. Yeah, I just feel that God wants to say to you this morning that he wants to see you blessed. And sometimes you feel like you are not a blessing in other people's lives, that you've got things, so many things wrong. And it's kind of as if the enemy's coming along and puncturing, taking pieces out you until there's nothing left and it seems to have all fallen apart. And it's just so painful. And the Lord, I believe, is saying to us this morning, I will build your relationships. I will build your church. Trust in me. But it has to begin with humble submission. And for some people, it's been so painful that you've begun to build a wall. said, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to be hurt anymore. It's too painful. It's always me that pays the price. It's always me that gives. And I believe Jesus is saying, I know, but I paid the ultimate price on that cross. With the jeers and the poking. And I believe the Holy Spirit would want to come and knock that wall down and say to you, I want to build your relationships. And even the ones that you think are beyond repair, the ones that you think have been sown with tears. The Lord is saying to you, I believe, I want you to lay it down and I want you to allow me to build. Where it's been hard work, it's because you have been trying to do it in your own strength. I want you to invite me in that I may move in power. And it might not be done in the way you imagine it, but I want to move in power. And I want to do this so that in these end days, that people can look upon my church and say, I want what they have because they love each other. So in the name of Jesus, I just pray for us, Father. I pray that you would help us to build relationships. Lord, relationships that trust one another, that honour one another, that bring submission, Father. And that all we do, Father, I pray it would be in submission to you. In the name of Jesus.